The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Let's get started. For those of you that have... that'd be great. Yeah. But don't tell me what. I'm picking on it. For those of you who are coming in the room, well, Sharina knows because she found out a couple of years ago the painful way. But we're getting ready now to start our planning committee meeting for next year. As you all, some of you know, and for those of you who don't know, whoever shows up at this meeting is on the executive committee for the next. No, don't you want? Come back in here. If you haven't sort of noticed already in the conference, for those of you who are coming to our conference for the first year, we have a very sort of egalitarian, democratic process of pretty much everything we do. This is the only meeting that we have during the year. You'll get emails from us periodically, but this is pretty much it. So there's not a lot of work to be on the planning committee or the executive committee. But if an issue ever comes up, and I'm happy to report that unlike in last year's meeting where we had a couple of issues, we have no issues that we need you all to help us resolve this year. But if an issue does come up over the next year, then we will call on the executive committee to help us to resolve that issue. So there's a sign-in sheet that's going around. If you can sign it, just basically your name and email address is probably the easiest. And that way... I'm sorry, institution, thanks, and email address. And that way, should something come up that we need sort of the advice and counsel of the executive committee, we'll be able to sort of do a quick MAPOC 2006 email or whatever. The first thing that we'll do is we'll have a report from the treasurer.
I have very good news to report in terms of the financial health of this particular conference. And with the good news comes some, advice. So I'll give the good news first. First of all, I don't know how many of you know how this organization has basically functioned in terms of its finances in the past, and I think I should give you a little bit of a very brief background on that. Traditionally speaking, whenever a host institution host this conference, then basically what they do is they put the bill for that. And so as a result of that, the fees that are collected for the conference are basically placed in trust for the conference organization. And that's been done since its inception. And as a result of that, the organization has amassed a fairly good corpus in order to do certain things such as invite speakers and that type of thing. And so for this year, we started with a balance of $13,748.05. From that, we subtracted the expenses for last year's speaker. And last year's speaker, if you remember, was Adrian Wing, who did a wonderful job. And from that, that was about $686.92, which leaves a corpus balance of $13,061.13. So the organization is in very good shape. Now, the one thing I want to tell you is that I think as economics go for the nation, so does it go for law schools. And so as a result of that, in the last, I'd say, 2 years, maybe even three, the hosting institutions have kept all of the fees generated by the conference. So there has been no intake to the corpus for the last 2 or 3 years. Now, I say this to just alert everybody to this particular situation for this reason. We're not spending lots of money, so there's nothing to really worry about along this score, but there has not been any intake for 3 years. So I bring that to your attention. It's not an issue right now, but it's something I think that we ought to have on our back burner, because historically speaking, the organization has been able to keep all of the fees. Whether this means that we have to rethink how we do the fee structure in order to continue to have an influx, it's an issue to be discussed. But the organization is doing fine. I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, being a naysayer, but I do think it's important for you to know that there has not been any intake at all in the last 3 years.
Any questions? Okay. The only other thing we ever cover at the planning meeting for the next year is the next year's program. And what we have historically done, and Dorothy and I have also done it this year, is we come up with sort of the program theme and then panels. One of the things that we've tried to do is to alternate from year to year, having a conference which has, and this is sort of a gross generalization, but more of a sort of public theme, public nature, which this year was. We had relatively more of the sessions that sort of focused on public law, whether criminal law, constitutional law, and then sort of rotated with a private year. One year we did, when we were at Washington and Lee, I think we did race money in the law or something like that. The other thing that we try to do is to make sure that over a sort of three to five year period, that we cover all substantive areas of the law. We do that for the very simple and crass reason that if you are someone that doesn't, that you write in a particular area of the law and you're trying to sort of market or justify to your host institution why they should, you know, continue to send you to these conferences, that at some point it will be something that's in your area. And so one of the things that we did in sort of deciding on the conference theme for this year, and actually Odina is not in the room, but Kim is, so I can also explain a little bit about, he's wondering, what in the world is she talking about? I can explain a little bit about sort of how we sort of came to the conference theme for this year. And the conference theme, which I should, is watching privacy disappear. Last year, for those of you that were at Louisville, Odina was on a panel with Sam Markison, who was on the Louisville faculty, and they were talking about sort of different privacy moments. And at the end of, not really privacy, but at the end of Odina's presentation, Odina and Kim had this exchange, which Kim may or may not remember, and sort of the end result of the conversation was that we're sort of at a point now where what we thought about in terms of privacy is no longer true, and the phrase that Odina used, I think, was, our children will never understand the concept of privacy in the way that we did growing up, whether it's, you know, school locker issues or, and I think the example that Kim gave was sort of the way we accept what we have to do just to get on an airplane now, whereas 15 years ago sort of would have been an anathema. So having said that, I'm going to let Dorothy, because she wrote it, and although her writing is beautiful, she would do a better job of discussing the...
Okay. The three, actually there's going to be four panels. The three substantive panels, the first one's going to be national security, terrorism, and privacy. The second panel, privacy in everyday life. And the third panel, privacy in the information age. And under the alternation, this year the fourth panel was on teaching, so next year the fourth panel will be on scholarship, will be basically, you've written the article, now what? And that's, do you want to go into more specifics on each of the panels? Or
yeah, and actually if I can just say one thing. One of the reasons that the privacy and the information age is there is we haven't done anything on IP in a few years, let's just say. So it's probably time to bring that back into the rotation. And also one of the things we're hoping it will be able to do with national security, terrorism, and privacy is we focused a lot on constitutional issues in the last couple of years, but there may be some First Amendment opportunities that we would have in the national security, terrorism, and privacy, the first panel.
Okay. Now, I'm describing the panels, mm-hmm. Or am I asking for names, or what am I?
Well, we could describe them and then say the names we have and then ask for.
Okay.
More.
The National Security, Terrorism, and Privacy panel, if I look for my notes, deals with, well, it kind of deals with what it says, right?
Yeah.
It is national security, terrorism, and privacy. Okay. And one of the things that Michelle had sent me an email talking about academic issues, you know, who we can get as guest speakers that won't get caught by the no-fly list, what we may or may not be able to say in classrooms, but there actually are some academic issues. Another thought for this panel was what role the media has in uncovering this. So in addition to all the things you think of as national security, terrorism, privacy, I wanted to add in the media and perhaps some academic issues, okay?
So I guess first thing, if you all have other sort of subheaders that would fit within there, and if you do, if you have like suggested speakers that would go along with the particular topic.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That very much figures into this. I mean, I think you've got issues about presidential authority, you know, and so you've got some core constitutional questions, but you also have a set of questions that intersect with the question of race and citizenship. And so, you know, you talked about the Japanese internment, you talked about the cases going, you know, back from World War II and actually before to now, and so I think that kind of opens up the possibility of speakers working.
Mm-hmm. Other either suggestions or? Both names for the current categories, or if you're like Cheryl and you have, you know, this fits within this category as well. Do you have names?
Well, Jerry Kahn comes to mind, both IT and national security.
Okay. We need the sign-up sheets going around. Anybody didn't?
Okay. Oh, Darren.
I'm sorry, yeah. Not suicidal. Is this at Georgia State?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right,
mm-hmm.
right. Yeah, his war Churchill, her husband's
mm-hmm.
war Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
right,
okay.
War Churchill, yes. Okay, Sherilyn. Yes, Marcelin.
He's not in our region. My colleague,
okay.
Michael Levis. When he has delivered a lecture that writes about Patriot Act and how it impacts institutions of higher learning.
Okay.
The implications for research and down to who your students are going to be.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Rakaya, did I see your hand? No. Okay.
Don't twitch in this room.
Hey, I'm a tax professor. I look for life anywhere. And I imagine it, even if it's not there. Okay. Okay. In terms of the media and the coverage, I think my colleague Blake Morant would be perfect for this panel because he's written on media coverage issues. So, you know, next, okay. Let's change the subject before
he
says no.
He'd be excellent.
Okay, very good. Okay, privacy in everyday life. One of the things we wanted to cover in this panel was perhaps criminal law, state and local law, consumer credit, you know, those kinds of issues. Because actually, Michelle and I were talking to a friend of hers who either his parents just closed on a loan and the bank refused to take the wire transfer.
It was in, he was there in Atlanta. He's Iranian. Well, he's Iranian. His parents were closing on a loan. The money was being wired from a Georgia bank, but something in the Patriot Act, you know, flagged, I don't know if it was their surname or what, and the transaction was almost they couldn't go through with the closing because of whatever quirky rules there were within the, in terms of transferring the wiring money. But these were two domestic banks, where one of them called up the other one and said, you know, we can't take that money. That may violate the, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. That story actually exemplifies the question I had about the second panel.
Okay.
Because this second panel sounds to me like part of the first and the last one. All of the issues that would come up with privacy and everything that I think that you're referring to would either be, you know, as a result of National Security Safety Act stuff or as a result of the information age, or who might have a limit on your credit.
Sure.
And I think when we talked about the third panel, privacy in the information age, we were talking about it from an IP, you know, now people can snoop in your emails, that kind of technology piece, which I guess I saw as different, you know, from the hyper we just gave, right?
So that the hyper we just gave would be a national security issue, because that's one issue.
Yeah.
All the panel two issues that seem to be, but also usually panel one or panel three issues, that's what I'm saying.
One of them is... One of them in panel two that might not be was the way that we were thinking of the criminal law issue and whether it's the sort of the TV cameras that appear on street, exactly, which it's more law and order, so they say, than national security. But I think you're right that the other one that we just mentioned may bleed more into the first and into the second. But I don't remember the other topics we had other than the...
No, there weren't any others.
That one, and then the security cameras. You can think of other ones, just sort of privacy in your everyday life. I mean, the Oh, right. Was that a hand, Makai?
Okay.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm not calling on you anymore. You're mocking me. Okay, go ahead.
And I know that we're all thinking of names to suggest as well. Alice. Oh, I thought that was a hand. Oh, no, Bob's fine.
Privacy, getting private businesses, whether or not you're private information, that all might be elevated by.
Now, is that something that you'd be comfortable talking about, Karen? Okay.
My next dear, it seems to me,
I just got a name. Her name is Karen. Bravo.
That's the attitude.
Cheryl, is it?
There was a name you said, or was it? And then you can do an empirical study and explain why all law professors discriminate against conservative law professors.
Reggie. Ah, for 30. 30 dirty professors.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get all?
I didn't get all. Well, I wanted to throw out for the Privacy of the Information Age, and Margot Bagley, who is at Emory, she teaches IP, and would, I think, be a good addition, talking about IP on the information age piece of it.
Given both Cheryl and comment earlier that some of what we said in two probably will end up in one or three.
Mm-hmm.
Two may look a little different. I'm beginning to hear somewhat of a theme. And so it may end up that some of the things that we mentioned in two end up in three or move up to one, and two may look more sort of intimate
mm-hmm.
than
mm-hmm.
it did when we originally
intimacy
it.
And health or something yeah. like that.
Topics than we'll be able to cover for next year, but depending on one of the things we try to do is to have more topics than we can ever use, because when we then try to pair up speakers topics, sometimes some self-selection sort of has to take place. Yeah, sure.
Now, in terms of keynote speakers, I heard possibilities of Jerry Kane, Michael Olivas. Do we have any other suggestions for potential keynote speakers who'd be fitting with the theme of this? Pam? Not really, no. Yeah, we're pretty...
egalitarian.
Oh, okay. It's okay.
Yeah, can I interject on that? Just to let you know, Pam, like last year, Adrienne Wing was the featured speaker, and she's from Iowa.
Right. And we were
so,
in Louisville.
Yeah, right. So it can be, you know, anyone who's, you know, fits with the topic, but, you know.
And the race, money, and the law, or whatever we called it, when we met at W&L,
mm-hmm.
the speaker was actually a sociologist.
Yeah.
Political scientist from the University of
Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And so not only does it not have to be within the region, it doesn't even have to be within the law, because we're basically looking for someone that fits the theme.
Mm-hmm.
The one, I think probably what you're thinking of, Pam, is the one place where we insist that the person be from the region is the last word, which will be the last part that we talk about.
Yeah.
But in terms of the keynote, it doesn't have to be geographically linked.
And in terms of where it's going to be next year, we're in current negotiations, and we think there's a strong likelihood that it'll be at, can I say it, Hank?
Oh, gee, no one will know.
Yes, men. So we think. It's not a done deal yet, but we think of what we typically do is have D.C. and then out of D.C. and then D.C. and then out of D.C. So it'll be out of D.C. next year.
And for those of you that are new to the conference, we meet the last weekend in January. We used to have to rotate whether it be the last weekend or the first weekend, depending on the Super Bowl, but now that commercialization has solved that problem for us, we can pretty safely say that we'll be meeting the last weekend in January. The only time we change that is if there is a conflict with the host institution, in which case, obviously, we'll take the weekend that they give us.
So right now it's looking like January 26th and 27th, but we can change it.
Tony?
Pam threw Glenn Bain's name into the panel hopper, which I think is a great idea, but Glenn might also be a very good keynote candidate because he's sort of reached that level of stature that I think he'd be a very, very good choice. And especially, since I don't know whether everyone knows this, St. John's just gave them this fantastic new center for, I don't know the exact name.
Yeah, the Ron Brown Center.
Right.
Yes, and so I think he'd be a great
Okay. Roger, do you see your hand?
Maybe for the keynote as well, since you mentioned they don't necessarily have to be teaching in law school, is Vince Bonham, B-O-N-H-A-M. He is the leading person at the National Institutes of Health on the genome and using racial disparities to try to protect racial disparities from being misused by the genome program. He goes around the country and
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Well, actually, not picking on them. Okay.
Other keynote?
If not keynote, then we can move to the last.
Oh,
sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Other suggestions? Email them to Dorothy.
Yeah,
because you may think of people after today, so.
Or you move when you start going through your piles of reading. Well, of course, I know we're all current on our reading, but should you have one or two things that you haven't read, or there may be a name that comes to mind that you would say.
Okay, so now we're going to move to the last word.
Last word, for those of you again that aren't familiar with, and I should make Vero leave the room since she's the last word this year, but the last word is always reserved for someone in our region. And I guess I should explain the region. We have an odd sort of geographical boundary in the mid-Atlantic. It's Maryland, D.C., Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania,
Delaware,
parts of Kentucky. That's right.
Louisville.
The southern part of New Jersey. I mean, it's just kind of an odd way it's been
gerrymandered.
And so the person that gives the last word, rather than describing sort of what the last word is, since we'll hear that in a little while, but I'll give you the names of the people who've given the last word in the last few years, so you'll get the sense of the stature that we are looking for with the last word. We have Viral this year. We had Ginger Patterson at Georgetown was last year. Chuck Lawrence was, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. Gil Holmes was 1 year. Oh, we had, that's right, Phoebe and
Frank
did a joint last word 1 year. So those are the, I wish you weren't in here. Those are the caliber of folks I'm looking for the last word. And so if you have any suggestions, you know, sort of call, but keep in mind they've got to be in the region. This is the one time where we do discriminate on the basis of region, whereas for everything else, we don't care where people.
Yes.
Think about people, especially those of you that are at schools in the region, sort of think of someone at your institution or an institution in the city that you might recommend. Or not.
And
yeah.
Yeah, that does. Yeah.
And again, they can email.
Yeah, they can email.
Email again. Yeah.
She's Georgetown.
Okay, I saw Beryl's hand. Okay, at Howard.
Oh, that's right.
She's associate dean at Howard, yeah. And again, they can email.
Mm-hmm.
And you can email
yeah.
all of us if you think of other names.
Yeah.
Pam, were you Twitch? Okay, Ham.
What school is he at? Pam, what school is he at? Peter Alexander. Okay.
I know you know Peter.
Okay. Peter, okay. Keynote speaker or the last word?
Keynote speaker.
Okay. Ooh, thank you. Okay, yeah, okay.
Any other name, or else we could have a built-in break.
Yeah, which wouldn't be a bad.
But there's a couple of the issues.
There are.
Yeah, just a couple.
Okay. Nothing big. Okay.
Okay.
Go for it and make it fast.
There are. Just one, and I just broached this because we did this 2 years ago, and I don't know how many of you have been involved with your appointments processes at your various schools, but there's always been a need to increase the number of people of color at a number of different faculties, and I've heard this nationally all the time, how difficult that is. And we can talk about difficult in a variety of different terms, but be that as it may, one of the things that we did a couple of years ago was to have a panel with regard to, and Dean Miles was on that panel, that dealt with this issue of appointments, trying to increase the number of people of color in the academy, addressing issues such as retention of people of color in the academy. And I've got to tell you, being on the ABA Diversity Committee, and we met during a AALS meeting, it was startling to me to hear the statistics of the number of individuals who do not stay in this profession. Was that 2 years ago we did this?
It was 3 years ago.
I just broached this as a subject for, if not discussion today, for consideration, that the conference do something along that line. Mm-hmm. And if it can be regularized, that would be really great. I cannot begin to tell you how much this basic issue was on the docket at the ABA Diversity Committee meeting, and I'm not saying it's a crisis, but I do think it is an issue that needs to be addressed, and I think this organization could move in a direction to help address that.
What we can do is we have not included the panel 5 slot that we had this year. It was the panel 5.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay,
yes.
That's okay.
So what I typically try to do is not to have a suggestion for the panel 5 slot, just in case either the home institution has a suggestion, or in this case, we may have another suggestion. And so what we can try to do is to sort of figure out how would we structure it, how would it play, who would we get in as speakers. The one that we had, and it's actually ironic, is Paul still there? I was sort of joking with Paul about it the last time.
Yeah, Paul's
there. This is the one I was telling you about. We had people on sort of appointments committees who basically came to us and said, you know, are we doing something wrong? Mm-hmm. What suggestions do you have? We had a frank and some moments, brutally blunt and frank discussion. But I think it was helpful, if for no other reason, that it gave us all the ability to sort of take those arguments and go back to our home and studios and say, well, you know, that's a nice excuse that you're coming up with, but have you considered X, Y, and Z? So if it's something that, you know, we're interested in doing, we have the option of the panel 5 slot, as long as everybody is committed, that makes it a longer day than if we end. Because as of now, if we would be ending at 5. If we had the panel 5 slot, we go 5 to 6, as long as everyone is committed to staying. And we'll be inland, so we increase the likelihood that people will stay as opposed to these people go hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Recruitment, not retention.
Either recruitment or retention.
Both or slash. Recruitment slash, yeah. And the last issue, I don't know if many of, well, I'm sure many of you know that one of the persons at this table is going to a school that's not in this region. And has gone to a school that's not in this region. And so it came to my mind, and it came to my mind that...
It's a fan. I was never an usher. I can't...
Notwithstanding the invaluable contribution this individual has made to this organization for many years, it's also come to mind that we have had a number of people who are at schools that are not in this region who have been integral parts of this program. So I just throw this out as a suggestion that we can discuss in greater detail, and that is perhaps having some kind of liaison individual who is sort of like an affiliate chair, someone who basically is a liaison to schools or maybe even to the POCs that are not in this particular region, where we can, you know, sort of continue that dialogue with external, the schools that are not in the region. So I just throw that out. I see some frowning faces and what have you.
Maybe from
the main frowning faces
that are out there.
And before we you know, I know.
Talk about me in third person.
Yeah, basically. It's like Bob Dole said. Okay, and before we turn the mic over to Michelle, who's the woman who's at Texas and has deserted the state of Virginia, and many smart people have deserted the state for her and will do so after her. I wanted to point out that Hank Chambers has graciously agreed to take the position as program chair next year, and I'm looking forward to working with him.
I'm the one that has fled the region. I struggled actually at the planning committee meeting in January of last year. I struggled. As I said earlier, I debated what I was going to do in terms of being program chair this year. It was a debate that clearly I lost because I was pretty sure in January that I was going to be someplace not in the Mid-Atlantic, but I didn't know where because, you know, things were kind of sort of up in the air in terms of which, you know, where I might land. And then technically, for reasons which I won't bore you with, technically I was a visitor still at William & Mary last fall, so that I've actually...
Visitor
at Texas last fall, so that technically I have only been a member of the Texas faculty for, I don't know, 15 or so days. But I'm not going anywhere else, and Texas, no matter how we cut the boundaries, Texas is not in the Mid-Atlantic. and... God bless him. And I mean, I just sort of tell you, I think all of you sort of know how I feel about the Mid-Atlantic and how much I've enjoyed, notwithstanding my whip cracking, how much I really do enjoy and love being with my family. And in fact, when I, part of the negotiating deal that I had when I was sort of talking to the dean at Texas was about you all. You know, I said, I don't know if you're familiar with People of Color conferences, but I've been very involved with the Mid-Atlantic, and I know, close your ears, Marcelin, I know that there are other, that there is one that's actually in the Texas region. As you all may know, Southeast, Southwest is kind of getting up and going again, but you're my family. I mean, I've been coming here for, I don't know, 8 or so years, and I may have to, you know, change my allegiances, though it will be hard for me to do. But the dean understands at Texas that if I want to come to the Mid-Atlantic every year, wherever we happen to be, that I'm coming. And so I have greatly enjoyed being the program chair. I thank you all for tolerating my looks and my, you know, turning my head and snarling and whatnot. And Dorothy has agreed to take over the whipcracker role next year, but you'll have to be looking for Hank to crack that whip in a couple of years. So if there's nothing else, we are adjourned, and we are back on
set. We're just going to put her on a, she's on a panel already.